can't even figure a way to get a light up here.
Hey, man.
We can do that.
Bless your Lord. I go away and pray a place for you, he said.
If you ain't standing here on this earth, just wait by the river.
Yes.
It's such a good place for us to be.
Yeah.
Over
that's right.
There.
Good place.
And after I find you, let's go see Jesus.
Woo. Song, hallelujah. Glad we got a meeting place.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Bless the Lord. All right. Did y'all notice like me, Carolyn, up there pounding that pulpit, that arm doing good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
On the men.
That was beautiful. Everybody give him a hand.
Yeah.
Good job. I got a couple requests this morning. I got to get one for Karen. So we're going to do one day at a time first.
All right.
Oh, I was talking about that song this morning.
Praise the Lord.
That's all we got. One day at a time.
That's right, Brother Mitchell. Amen.
We got
no winning. Amen. Bless the Lord.
I'm only human. I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the strength.
Amen.
One day at a time, say Jesus.
That's right.
That's all. mine.
That's right. Amen.
Lord, help me today.
Yeah.
Show me the way one day at a time. With a staff and a rod.
listen to the words of the song?
Yes.
It means a lot to me.
Bless you, Sister Joanne.
Amen. Bless you.
I've got to get down all week.
Mm.
So y'all just pray for me.
Bless you, God. Bless you. Amen.
Did it turn the amp off back there?
I just want to say I enjoy getting up here every week and singing for y'all.
Bless you, man. He wasn't going to do anything this morning. I said, you can't get out of there. Somebody's going to want one.
Bless. I was set a man's gift to make room for him.
That's right.
Oh.
Good singing there. Brother Danny, Sister Carolyn. Sister Carolyn shared a prayer request with me, and I certainly want to acknowledge her prayer request. She said she had a granddaughter in a car wreck. I don't know the circumstances of it. Is she in the hospital or?
No, Brother Wayne. I don't care to stand up and tell this because that's what Jeff wanted me to do.
Yeah.
He said he wanted the church to pray for. She left yesterday to go to this place for 21 days. She can't control her liquor, and when she drinks, she's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And she was, only thing saved her was a tree trunk. She was went right over in the river, and she thought she was gone. So Jeff said, Mama, I want the church to pray for her.
Yes, Lord.
But she's okay?
Yes.
She not in the hospital?
No, she's at that place already.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, at this time, we want to bring this petition to you in humble prayer. Lord, I'm glad, Lord, it's of your mercies. We're not consumed. I'm glad your compassions fail not. I'm glad your mercies are new every morning. I'm glad not only, Lord, that in mercy you spared this granddaughter. Lord, I'm glad that you're gracious and good, long-suffering and full of love. And Lord, you're the God of all comfort. I pray you'll comfort this family concerning this issue. And I pray, God, I know you're very present help in trouble. I pray you'll help this family. Lord, I pray this young girl, Lord, would find that, Lord, you're able to set the captive free. I pray, Lord, she'd give her your heart, give you her heart, and find in you the great peace that you offer all that come to you. Find the peace, find the safety. Find, Lord, the refuge that you offer, Lord, for people, Lord, to have safety from the perils of life. Lord, from the devil, from those that would harm and things that would harm. I pray she'd run to you, make haste. And I pray, dear God, Lord, you would touch her and help her, Lord, with this problem. We thank you, Lord, she's still alive. We pray, God, Lord, that you would, Lord, take whatever measures that are needed to see this young girl gets the help she needs. May she somehow be delivered from this bondage, somehow, Lord, be set free from it. And all these things, Lord, we give you praise. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't have a bit of problem with that. I thank the Lord to follow the leadership of God.
Yes.
In everything. And I appreciate Sister Carolyn. I appreciate the tears. I'll welcome tears anytime they come. Sister Joanne wanted Brother Danny to sing that song. I'm glad he yielded. I said something, Brother Ed, about last Sunday. I thought I had too much singing on the tape. It took too long to download on the internet. I ain't worried about that. I really ain't. I thought about that when the singing was going on this morning. I thought I'll just let the Lord handle that. But I appreciate the tears. I'm glad God was merciful and spared this young lady. A lot of people just like that young lady. They need help. They don't really realize that they need help. I done told Brother Ed what I was going to preach this morning. I may have to have intermission on that. I don't know that I'm going to. Don't know that I ain't going to. I'm just trying to let God lead here this morning.
Amen.
But there was a verse come to my mind when Sister Carolyn came up to me and shared her heart with me about a granddaughter and wanted the church to have prayer with a granddaughter. And one verse come to my mind. I don't know that I'm going to preach this verse, but I am going to read this verse right now for sure. Psalms 142. And sometimes it's the way life is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to read from verse 1 all the way down to verse 4. Verse 4 has in the verse, refuge failed me. Sometimes the best plans won't work. Sometimes you take all the precautions and it still falls through. Let's read here Psalms 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Sometimes that's all you can do.
That's right.
I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble.
Yeah.
I wish we didn't have trouble. My daughter's in Hopkinsville Hospital right now. She's been there all month. Where she lives at, they gave me a notice she's got to move out. I didn't have that in my plans. You know, I know the Bible says, kind of not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you some strange thing. It's commonplace. It says, knowing this, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother. We all have troubles. Sometimes troubles draw us to God.
Right.
Sometimes troubles cause us to run from God.
Right.
I'll tell you, you listen to what we're reading here this morning here. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. I'm in Psalms 142, verse 2 right now. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, and it happens to the best of us.
Yes, right.
Then Thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they proudly laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now I want you to notice verse 4. The latter part of verse 4 says, no man cared for my soul. That's important.
Yeah.
Because 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Amen.
No man may not care, but Jesus cares. Someone said, does Jesus care? Oh yeah, He cares. He cares enough to come to us in the night watches. To comfort us when we're cast down. He cares when we can't go.
Right.
I'm glad He cares. Amen. I wouldn't let God lead here this morning. I would preach that if I felt the leadership of God to do that. But I don't really feel it. So I want to stop right there and I want to go to what I was aiming to preach this morning. It's still early. It's only 20 minutes to 12. I don't think it's going to take me that long to preach this message. We'll go to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read 20 verses. This is a message God put on my heart this morning. And I wouldn't have a bit of problem at all with sidestepping it if that be the will of God. But I did want to read what God put in my heart when Carolyn came up here with tears in her eyes saying, pray for my granddaughter and have the church to pray for. And we do. Not only did we do that, but we want to continue to pray for our granddaughter.
Yes,
this world's in a trouble. I'll tell you right now, it's in a trouble. This message today is going to help a little bit concerning that. Mark chapter 5, we're going to read 20 verses. And verse 15 is our text verse. It says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Did you notice twice? Verse 3, no man could bind him. And here you got verse 4, no man can tame him.
Yes.
Always night and day, He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, cutting Himself with stones. But when He saw Jesus afar off, He ran and worshipped Him. I'm not done reading. I just want to say I'm glad Jesus cared enough to come to where this man was.
Yeah.
You know, you might shun someone like this. I might shun someone like this, but I'm glad Jesus didn't.
Right.
Joanne, He came right where He was.
Right.
This man needed some help in the worst kind.
Right.
Nobody could help him but Jesus.
Right.
You know what, Brother Mitchell? I'm glad Jesus makes house calls.
Amen.
I got to read a little more. This life get good before it's over. I don't know.
Amen.
But listen. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. No wonder God don't want us to eat hogs. A great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us unto the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Do you notice that? He's the general.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? He gave them leave.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know how a commander works or not, but he either says you can or can't do something. He gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, this is our text verse, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And he that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And he went, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed of the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord have done for thee and have had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I'm preaching this morning on mental illness, and this will be one of a three-part series. I don't know for sure exactly how it's going to go. I know we've got a homecoming service coming up, but we'll get it in there somehow. But we'll pray. Father, we thank you for what we've already felt, what we've already heard. Lord, for the things that's already been done in this service already. We can leave already and say it's been good to be in God's house. Lord, we want to deliver this message. I pray you'll help us to have God's speed. Give us, Lord, I pray, clarity of thought. Give us, Lord, I pray, not only, Lord, your Holy Spirit's help, but preach to us and preach through us, and we'll all give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we'll ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to notice this man here had his dwelling among the tombs. Verse 3 said, that's not a good place for someone to live. And yet that was where this man lived. Sister Carolyn sharing with us about her granddaughter. She's having problems with alcohol. I had a problem with alcohol for about 30-some years. Yeah. I'm glad I quit with one in my hand.
Amen.
I'm talking about I had a tall boy past blue ribbon in this hand right here. And I was going to drink it all in one drink, Brother Dallas. I was going to suck the sides in. But that night before I went to bed, just so you'll know, I tried to quit and couldn't. I asked my wife about drinking. She said maybe one every now and then might be all right, but not the way you drink. I don't think that'd be right. I called Louisville, Kentucky to talk to my dad's brother, my Uncle Benny. And I said, "Uncle Benny, what do you think about a man drinking after he gets saved?" And my Uncle Benny said, "Well, Brother Eddie, the Bible says not to take nothing in your body that causes harm." He said, "I think if drinking causes you to harm yourself or harm someone else," he said, "I don't think that'd be right. I didn't like what my wife said. I didn't like what he said. So I went to my pastor. I said, Brother Rick, I did pray that night.
Amen.
Before I went to bed, Miranda. Just simple child prayer. I just got saved. I mean, I got saved April 27, 1988. Now, you know, it takes a while.
Yeah, right.
Now, I got glorious and wanted to save immediately. But I had to burn all them movies and albums and stuff, get them out of my house, pile them up in the yard, burn them. My dad said, let me have them. I'll sell them. I said, no, Dad, I want to burn them. Oh, this is no more in my life. I want to get rid of them. I had a holy burning.
Right.
Anyway, I wasn't done. The Bible says, work out your own salvation, Fred Truman.
Yeah.
In Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 20, well, I'm still working this out. See, I'm saved now. And I'm a drunk. And this thing's bigger than me. So anyway, that night I knelt down there, and I done talked to my wife, and I didn't like her answer. I done talked to my dad's brother, deacon in a big church up in Louisville, didn't like his answer. Talked to my pastor, and I didn't like his answer. And I prayed that night just a little child's prayer, because I just got saved. You know, I said, Caden, I said, Lord, I said, I've asked everybody but you.
Yeah.
He said, now I want to ask you about this matter of me drinking. I said, I wasn't enjoying it. Now I want you to know I didn't want to drink. It just, I couldn't quit. But I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, I don't even know how to ask you about this, but I said, I do know one thing. I said, if you would show me about this matter of drinking in a way that I know it's you. Now remember that.
Amen.
I'm praying just kind of haphazardly. It's almost like I didn't want an answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just kind of threw it out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the next day I went out to mow the yard, Brother Dallas. It's a hot day, you know. I'm mowing the yard, Brother Mark. And in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, boy, that fruit jug is full. Tall boy passed through ribbon, Brother James. Pretty soon I got obsessed with the fact that I could have one of them. I forgot about being saved. I forgot about praying. I got off that line. I don't remember turning it off. Now, it might be still running right now. I don't know. It was 31 years ago. And I run in that house, and I jerked that refrigerator door open, and I do believe, I can honestly say this, I was so out of control, that I do believe if someone stood between me and that refrigerator, I tore them in half to get to that refrigerator. And I got one out, Brother Danny. Very good. I popped that top off that thing. And like I said, I forgot about being saved. I forgot about praying. Only thing on my mind was drinking that pass through ribbon. You say what you want to about it, I'll just tell you what a sinner that just got saved does. He ain't quite got it all figured out yet.
All right.
You see, God said, call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things you know not.
That's right.
Jeremiah 33:3. I didn't know none of those verses then. All I knew was I wanted this thing. Mm-hmm. I started down the hall of our house, and I'm going to put it in my mouth and drink it, and I can't put it in my mouth. First of all, scared to fart. What the heck's going on? Why can't I pull this in my mouth? And you know, it's scaring me and I'm confused. I'm sitting there thinking, what the heck? I want this thing so bad to let my arm turn into stone. I can't pull it in my mouth. I'm trying to figure out how to get to it.
Amen.
You know, I'm trying to figure out how to get to it. It just keeps moving with me. Anyway, right in the middle of all that confusion, God spoke to me and it was just the simplest speaking that He spoke to me. You know what He said, Brother Mitchell? He said, show me a way I know it's you.
Show me the way.
Now listen, when He said,
amen,
show me a way I know it's you, two things happened. First of all, I knew I'd never drink another immediately. Right then, I knew right then.
Yeah.
But I also knew, I didn't tell everything about that prayer. Let me back up on that. Put it in rewind here just a little bit. I didn't know God like I do now. I know Him a whole lot better now than I did then.
Yeah.
But see, not knowing God like I should have known God back then, wasn't raised in church, trying to play catch up, I guess. Joanne, in my mind, I thought that night that God, I know God heard my prayer, but I thought that night, Brother James, I thought God would come to me in a dream, and me and Him would walk and talk, and He'd talk to me about this matter about drink is what I thought. Mm-hmm. That's the reason I want to say I left this part out. And I woke up the next morning, I didn't dream anything, and I was really disappointed. I thought, foolish thought. I thought, well, the needs of the world are great, and I was busy last night. I'll pray about it again tonight. But anyway, unknown to me, God had indeed heard my prayer. And when He spoke those words, show me the way I know it's you, it reminded me of what I'd asked God to do. I said, Lord, would You do it in a way that I know it's You? And 31 years ago, I knew I'd never drink another drop of alcohol.
Yeah.
You say what you want to, but it wasn't no 10-step program. It wasn't even a 1-step program. It was Jesus Christ that set this captain free, and I'm free indeed. But I just want you to know, this man was living in the tombs. I don't know how he ended up there, but I'll tell you right now, it probably didn't happen overnight.
No.
It was probably a process of several things that led him to this sad commentary on a man that's living in tombs, that's cut himself with rocks, that's crying, that's naked, that can't be bound, that can't be tamed. I want you to know his circumstances were what we call extreme. I got to get all this out so I can get this message. But now this man, he's in the worst case scenario.
Yes.
I'm preaching today about mental illness. Let me see if I can get this message out. Let me say this, people are crazy today. My pastor just brought back a report. He went preached for revival. And he brought back a report that it's worse the further you get out from Kentucky.
Yeah.
He said, I've seen some strange, like the men in the Bible, Luke 5, 26, it said we've seen strange things today. He said it's getting bad out there. But even here in Kentucky, if you look around, people are crazy.
That's right.
I'm going to cut a lot of this message out to try to get us out of here some degree of old time. But you go out and people are saying things that they used to have a little bit of discretion. We just had a person quit at work this week, and on the way out the door, they used the intercom to do it. They gave three people a cussing. And I was sitting there thinking, I'd rather not heard that. But, people used to be a little bit more discreet about what they did, what they said, and all of that, if you know what I mean. But to make a long story short, my pastor brought back a report. He said it's worse out there. I can only imagine going to New York. And I can't imagine going to California. Man. You know what I mean? I mean, the further you get out, the worse it gets, it seems like. And it's pretty bad here. But anyway, I'm preaching today on mental illness, so bear with me here. When I say that there are people here in Kentucky that are crazy, my wife's one of them. She not only was crazy to marry me, but 44 years later, she still married me. You can't get no crazier than that. You might as well say amen right there. Hey, listen, I know Eddie Wade better than anybody. I wouldn't marry him for nothing. I for sure wouldn't be still married to him. So I just tell you how crazy you can get if you do. Oh, my. I hope she gets this message. Listen to it. She'll say amen. You're right on that note. Well, this is the first part of this message on mental illness. And I'm preaching today on sexual mental illness. And I'm not going to mince my words.
Amen.
I know you won't hear this very many pulpits. Won't hear it much on the TV. They misconstrue everything.
Yes,
but I'll tell you what, the spirit of Antichrist is in the world.
Yes.
And one thing that the devil does is he perverts the right ways of the Lord. And he'll try to make you something you're not. But anyway, sexual mental illness. Let me say this real quick. There is no such thing as a transgendered person.
Right.
Is that clear enough?
Amen.
There's no such thing as a bisexual person. Hello.
Amen.
There's no such thing as a lesbian person, even though I work with all of these.
Amen. That's right.
You're right. Amen.
There's no such thing as a queer or questioning person. That's what it stands for. LGBT is lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning person. Now, that questioning person is important because that's part of this message today.
Amen.
Now you listen real good to what the Bible has to say and it'll help you a little bit.
Yes.
The Bible says in Isaiah 45 verse 9, woe to him that striveth with his maker, questioning God, shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? In other words, they're saying, God, I'm not what you made me, I'm something else. God says woe to that person.
That's right.
That's right.
Now Jesus mentioned in Matthew 19, verse 4, have you not read, he that made them in the beginning, made them male and female, and there's no in between. If you notice right there, that's two distinctions. Yeah. And people are struggling today to find pronouns to describe people. That's some kind of confusion God ain't the author of. But anyway, you better be careful about contradicting your Creator. You better be careful of that.
That's right.
Not only did God make them male and female, but Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 tells you why He made them male and female. There's a reason for it, amen. Isaiah 45, the next verse, verse 10. Woe to him that saith unto his father, what begottest thou? In other words, they're questioning their gender. Hey, they got gender X now. They got pansexuals questioning what they are. To me, there's no question about it.
That's right.
I don't have a problem with it. Like I said, I've been married to Dottie 44 years. She's been married to me 44 years. We've had two children. I mean, be honest with you, that's the whole purpose of marriage.
That's right.
Is to reproduce and to populate the earth. And God that made everything and set everything in order, put it in the right order and everything. Hebrews chapter, you better be careful of that nonsense. It says, woe to him that saith to his father, what begottest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? In other words, they're telling their mom and dad, you don't understand. I ain't like you. Well, that's funny. I'm going somewhere with this message. It'll make a little more sense in a minute. But when you start questioning your mom and dad,
yes,
and saying, I'm not like you, and saying, I'm something I'm not, you start believing and living a lie. And I'll get to that here in a minute.
Amen.
This message is probably going to go over like a lead balloon out in the world, but I want it on this tape as clear as I can make it.
Yes.
When you start questioning your father, what begottest thou? Or questioning your mother, what have you brought forth? You better be careful with that nonsense. God says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, that the marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but homeowners and adulterers God will judge. Notice that next verse, verse 5, in the context of what it's talking about. It says, be content with such things as you have. Quit questioning. See what I mean?
Right.
The Bible says, God with contentment is great gain. Stay what you are. Amen. Now I'm going, well, going to go in this message. The world says something otherwise. Kind of like the serpent told Eve something otherwise. Yeah, God said. And he just changed one word, Miranda. God said, you shall surely die. And the serpent said, you shall not surely die. And even though he changed that one word, it didn't stop the consequences of them eating of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I know they didn't die immediately, but death came into the world with one man. Don't you hate going to the graveyard? Don't you hate having funerals? I just want you to know it's a product of sin. Sin is when you know to do good and do it not to you. It's sin. I want you to know sin's simple. God said do some things and don't do others. And when you contradict what God said to do and do something different, you're sinning not only against God, you're sinning against yourself.
Amen.
And people today are living a lie.
That's right. Right.
Amen.
Yes, they are.
Amen.
Saying there's something other than what they're born. Amen.
Amen.
Quit questioning your gender. Nonsense. Say what you are. Amen.
That's right.
The suicide rate of gay people is at 80% and climbing. Does that make any sense? 80% have either committed suicide or attempted suicide.
That's right.
You don't get that on Fox News.
No.
Or CNN.
No.
Or any of the rest of them. Say they want to kind of hush that thing out.
Yeah.
And they get the big pride out there, you know, and they start strutting their stuff. You know, six things the Lord hates. First thing on the list.
Yeah.
Pride.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
They got gay pride marches now.
Yeah.
Go to Dallas.
Yeah, all the time.
They go strut their stuff. God, I'm glad He is merciful.
Amen.
Instead of sending out a bolt of lightning,
that's right.
God somehow says maybe they'll come to themselves.
Right.
A long suffering of God that waited 120 years in Noah's day is waiting today, according to 2 Peter chapter 3. It's waiting the same word that waited in Noah's day. The same word has everything in reserve as God waits today. But God ain't going to wait forever. If I could somehow get this message where it's needed, there'd be a lot of people that say, I ain't living that lie no more.
That's right.
You know, I was a drunk. God didn't make me no drunk.
No, He didn't.
I got my first beer out of my dad's refrigerator. Fall City. Tasted like sewer water. I didn't even drink it all. I just thought, you know how you missed this bad part of a child? I got that thing in the refrigerator. Nobody's home. Went up there behind the garage, popped the top on it. It stunk, the smell of it. It stunk to drink it. But that's how it started. The Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I tell you, that shouldn't have been in the house. I don't blame my dad, don't get me wrong. I'd have got it somewhere, and I did get it somewhere besides that. But I want you to know it started in the home, amen. I believe we get our homes right, I believe.
Amen.
Our families be holding
better
off. Boy, it'd be good to have a good holy house cleaning.
Amen.
Man, if anybody, we need to have one, golly. Not necessarily a holy house cleaning. We need to have a house cleaning. Our house is so cluttered. I told my wife, I said, don't buy nothing else. Man, our house is so full, we ain't got room for nothing. And I'm told I had known. But listen, our homes, they need a good holy house cleaning. Amen, Brother Eddie. Throw some of this stuff out. Get up, tell to get it cleaned up. Cut the devil's water off. I was telling a lady this week, I was talking to her about my daughter. I can't really mention her name. She told me not to. But she said she's got a daughter that's of this persuasion. And she said, will you please pray for her? And I said, yes, I will. She told me her daughter's name, and I've been praying for her. She said, pray for her and pray for my grandkids. And pray for this daughter's partner. And I am. But you know what I asked that lady? I said, have you seen that movie War Room? She said, War Room, what's that? I said, that's where that black girl said to the devil, you get out of my house and you stay out. I said, that's what your daughter needs. She needs to get the devil out and tell him to hit the road and tell him to stay out. Amen. Well, sometimes we got to do battle with the devil.
Yeah, we do.
Have y'all seen that movie War Room?
Yeah.
I mean, this girl really didn't understand what this elderly black lady was trying to pass the torch to this younger black lady.
And
Dallas, she asked her if she wanted a cup of coffee. She said she's trying to sell her house. She's a realtor. The younger lady's a realtor. She said, I'd love to have a cup of coffee. And she gave that younger black lady a cup of coffee. And this older black lady sitting there drinking her coffee. And that younger black lady took a drink of her coffee. She said, you like your coffee cold? She said, no, honey, my coffee's hot. She said, your coffee's cold. I'm just trying to get through to you. You need to get on fire. You need to change some stuff. Amen. If you watch the movie, you'll see what I mean. The older black lady, and it was a true story.
Yeah.
The older black lady did prevail. But anyway, the suicide rate of gay people is at 80% and climbing. Now, this is probably the peak of this message right here. Yesterday, I had a 17-year-old Amish boy in my truck named Emma. He helped me move some metal. We drove 50 miles down to Tennessee to load this metal up. While I had him in the truck, Brother James, you know what I asked him? I said, Emma, do you mind me asking you a question? And kind of scared him a little bit. I guess he thought I was going to ask him what he believed in. I don't know. But he said, I guess it'd be all right. I said, Ammon, I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, I want you to answer this question as truthful as you can. Let me get up here close to this microphone. I want to make sure this gets on there. This 17-year-old Amish boy, I asked him, I said, Ammon, I want to ask you a question. I said, are there any gays or lesbians in the Amish community? You know what his answer was, Sharon? Of course not. He said, we raise our kids better than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy, he wasn't nice to me. Now, what he said, that overthrows the lie that they're born that way. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That overthrows the lie that they can't come out and be something else. You get what I'm saying there?
Amen.
He said, we got zero gays and lesbians. happens in the Amish community.
Right.
Now, we've got so many, I don't know if there even is a fair number, but here's what I want to say. The problem is they're not being raised right. They're not being told the truth. They're being fed this bunch of trash. It needs to be thrown out like the garbage that it is.
Right.
They need to change their curriculum from House Bill 346 to back to reading, writing, arithmetic, and just get sex completely out of the school system and just teach them what they need.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying here? Amen. This is a mental illness. It's taking its toll on our youth. Amen.
Our children. Amen. Preach. That's right.
Come on.
He said, not a one. You do the math on that born that way nonsense. That's a lie straight from a pits of hell. In Sunday school class this morning, you know, there's people that don't believe there's a hell. I work with one. He's a Jehovah's Witness. But a scientist don't believe there's a hell.
Right.
But a scientist say this earth, what is 600 million years old? Is that pretty close? Don't they say this earth 600 million years old? I built a lot of fires. You know what? They go out and they cool off.
Yeah.
So let's just say hypothetically that this world is and it's not. But let's just say it is 600 million years old. If it is, how come them volcanoes are still spewing that molten lava up into the sky like that one that erupted on that island? What in the world's going on? That looks more like what the Bible says, where the fire's not quenched and the worm not what? I'm telling you, all indications are God's right, they're wrong. Amen.
Right.
You're right.
You know what caused me to get saved? I didn't want to go to hell.
That's right.
Right.
It ain't froze over.
Right.
It ain't changed one iota.
No.
Matthew 25:41 said God prepared hell for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all one ought to have any place in hell, but I'm persuaded he's got a lot of company.
That's right.
I'm persuaded a lot of people are going. Matter of fact, in Matthew 7:15, it says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go therein.
Yeah.
Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it.
Yes.
Boy, I tell you what, that sounds like the odds are the wrong way. It ought to be just the opposite of that. It ought to be few are those that go the way of destruction, and many there be that go in the way of life.
Amen.
I just want you to know, nobody's born gay.
Right.
That's right.
Nobody has gender confusion.
Right.
You know, doctors ought to be a little bit threatened by that, because that threatens their credentials as a doctor.
Yeah.
In other words, they're not qualified to determine the sex of a baby no more. And instead of putting down it's a little boy or it's a little girl, they got to put down it's an X. Or to be announced later or something. Some stupidity like that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm talking about?
Amen.
This man that's in these tombs, he wasn't born there. He progressively somehow got in that condition, and somehow only Jesus could hit him.
That's right.
That's what's going on right now. I'm convinced only Jesus. You know who they won't let in schools now?
Jesus.
Yeah, who said that? You said it, Bonnie?
Jesus.
Yeah. Everybody else, welcome, ain't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Amen.
Only one that can help them, they won't let him in. You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah. Right.
This is sexual, mental illness.
That's right.
It's taking our country by storm.
Yes.
You know, I got a little bit of joy at Barack Obama going to Africa, trying to promote that sexual lifestyle. You know what they told him? Get that mess out here. We don't want it.
Yeah, amen.
That was
amen.
The only highlight of his presidency.
Yeah.
Was they told him to load up and leave. We don't want that here. I'll tell you what, I commend Africa for making that kind of stand.
Yeah,
all the rest of them may be politically blinded and politically bought out. You know, it's not no gain to gain money and lose your soul. It's not no gain to become something you're not, live a lie, end up one day having to stand before God, give an account. Find out he keeps good records.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of his presidency when he went to Africa and tried to promote that gay lifestyle. They said, get that mess out of here.
Amen.
We don't want that here.
Right.
That's what they need to do to our schools.
Yeah.
Get that mess out of here.
Exactly.
You know what, I'm convinced these children are impressionable. You know, they watch something on TV and next thing you know, they're kind of mimicking. They got a towel tied around the back of their neck and they're jumping off the building thinking they're Superman. Well, they got a grapevine and they think they're Tarzan. They swinging up through that grapevine. Yeah. I'm convinced we've got something going on in this country. And I'm convinced it's of the devil. And it's a sexual, mental illness polluting the minds of our youth.
That's right.
The Boy Scouts. Somebody said, well, it hurt. That homosexual's in the Boy Scouts. Well, just read. I get cases now, little boys being abused. See, you don't turn the lambs loose among the sheep.
Right.
That's right.
Especially among the little lambs. Right. Like what I said, the wolves. You don't turn the wolves loose among the
right.
the sheep, and especially among the little lambs. We've lost our mind when it comes to this matter of what I'm preaching about today. Sexual mental illness. We've gone crazy. I'm glad God's got something better in mind.
Yeah.
I'm glad He's got a better place for us to live. Right. I'm glad, praise God, He's got a better will for our lives. Hey, He doesn't want us to live this lie. He wants us to live before Him in the beauty of holiness, to be what you are, to live a life before God that He can say, this is my beloved Son and whom I'm well pleased. They even accused Jesus.
That's right.
Of being homosexual.
Yes, they did.
Listen, if he's a homosexual, I'm going to hell. The Bible said he was tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. If he ever committed sin, we don't have a Savior.
That's right.
Our sin was put on him. I'm glad it was a carpenter, Brother James.
Amen.
Because the Bible said he nailed him to his cross and left him there.
Amen.
I'm glad he knows how to drive a nail, buddy. The devil like get my sins off that cross, but praise God, he got them nailed up good. I done some nails this week. I was out there at the barn trying down some number 8s in that old dried up, I guess it's probably oak or hickory or something. Them nails have been over.
Yeah.
And Brother Dallas, he built a lot of houses. He know what I'm talking about. You got to dent the tip of it a little bit to get go through that hardwood. Anyway, I was out there driving some nails this week, but listen, Jesus, he knew how to drive a nail.
Yeah.
And the Bible said he nailed our sins to the cross.
Right.
I think it's Colossians chapter 2. Oh, what a Savior.
Oh,
I'm glad, praise God, they're in a good, a sure place. I'm glad, praise God, knows how to drive a nail.
Amen.
Oh my, this man, his life's a mess. Nobody can help him. You know, they tell these children, nobody can help you, and they go commit suicide.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, that's right.
This is spiritual,
exactly.
Mental, illness.
Right.
And I hate to say it, but it's getting worse.
Yeah.
And worse.
Yep.
And worse. When's it going to stop, Brother? Well, when we get the Bible out, when we start telling truths, when we start telling our children, you wasn't born that way.
That's right.
Amen.
Why can't we do that? They call it hate speech. I don't hate them. I'm trying to help them.
That's right.
Amen. They don't bring that in there. I'll straighten it out. It won't take me. They might throw me out. It won't take me long to straighten it out.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now. You talking about, you know, they say they can't blush. Well, I can make them blush. You get me in there.
Right.
Yeah, I'll tell them like it is. Amen. Yeah.
That's what they need.
That is exactly what they need, Brother Mitchell. But you see, they won't allow that.
No.
Because they're living a lie. They're promoting a lie.
Right.
And just like this man right here, they get these young people where nobody can help them. And they don't want to live, Miranda. That's sad in my heart to know that they could have been taught better, to know they could have known things worth knowing than to know that nonsense. You know, I a few times I feel like, oh, just give up. It just doesn't seem like there's just no way. But you know what? You just got to keep trying.
Right.
Amen.
You never know. There might just be someone.
Amen.
That you might be able to reach. It might be able to reach someone else. It might have a ripple effect that a lot of people come out of that nonsense, come out in reality, and come clean of that mess. I tell you what, boy, they say you can't come out of it. I know all kinds of them have come out of it.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
Let's stop right there. Father, we thank you for the message, Lord. I pray, Lord, this message will be directed like an arrow from God. Lord, we know it'll be on the internet, and I pray you'll take it, Father, to the darkest place in this world. May the light from this message, I pray, cause someone to have hope in God. to realize their help. As the psalmist said, I'll look to the hills from which cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Lord, may you help these. They're in this deluded mental illness state of mind called this sexual perversion and not living a life apart from what you made them. Help them, Lord, I pray. Use this message in any way you can. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's ask everybody stand, please. Get Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon. You know, this message, a little rough. I'll tell you what, you stop thinking about what's going on in our country.
Yes, that's right.
The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The worst thing we can do is muzzle what needs to be said. God said in Isaiah 57, cry aloud, lift up your voice like a trumpet, cry aloud, spare not, tell my people their sins. For some reason or another, the pulpit's not allowed to talk about matters like what I mentioned today.
Amen.
And the next one will be about mental illness, but it won't be about the sexual part of it. Go ahead, brother. Cheer.
Number 101, first verse.